Okay, our topic for the day, I'm going to introduce it as the first time that I encountered it was when I moved to New York in 1995 after graduating law school. I remember starting work, I think it was like September 30th, 1995. I started the last possible day to avoid Chagim issues, missing for Chagim. And how do you get to work in New York? You get on the subway. So I remember having directions from somebody, how do you get on the subway? I was living at 105th Street and West End, and I used to go to shul at Havadaf Yomi Chavrusa at 6 a.m. on 100th Street, and Shacharis was at 7, and then once I got married a few months later, my wife would meet me, and we would take the subway together. Subway was located at 96th Street. If any of you are familiar with the subway in New York, 96th Street, back then it was the 1 and 9. Things have changed, I think, on the numbering, but it was the 1 and 9 you get on, and I would take it along with my wife, and we would do the transfer at 72nd Street, get on the 2 and 3. She would get off at Midtown, I would go to downtown. And I remember, this was actually before we got married, that I showed up at the subway at around 8 o'clock in the morning, and I was standing there ready with lots of people and during rush hour and waiting there, and the subway arrives and it was full, so everyone else somehow found space to get on, and I waited there. I wasn't from New York, I was from Los Angeles, and I didn't know that you needed the elbows. I didn't know that getting on the subway was a contact sport in New York, so I wasn't used to that. So I waited politely for the next one and the next one, and then I figured, finally, you know, you got to get on the subway, they're all going to be full, and I understood that this isn't going to be as pleasant as an experience as driving to work as I had been used to. So that was the first time I encountered this issue of having inevitable contact with people in general and females in particular, and that is our topic today, commuting and negia as it relates to interactions on subways, buses, etc. We'll talk about planes also. What do you do? It's a real challenge. Now, our last topic was shaking hands with women, and we went through the shitas, the opinions of the Rishonim, just to focus on two of them. Rabbeinu Yonah, who can tell me the view of Rabbeinu Yonah? He was the most machmir. Very good. He said what?
No.
No touching. No touching. Even if it's not amorous, there is no touching. Don't even touch her hand. You can't touch. It's an Isser D'oraisa. On the other hand, we saw the Shita of the Rambam. The Shita of the Rambam was that if it's affectionate, if it's amorous, Derechiba, then it is an Isser D'oraisa. It's a biblical prohibition. However, the Shach explained the Rambam that if it is not amorous, if it's not Derechiba, it is Mutter. Now, even that, Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked, how about shaking hands with a woman? And he said, we are machmir. We are strict. It's not permitted. Even though we paskin like the Rambam, we paskin like the Shach, that if it's not an affectionate touching, it is mutter. But we are concerned that there will be affection when somebody is shaking hands with somebody of the opposite gender. So that leads to our question. Would Rav Moshe Feinstein say the same thing when it comes to commuting in the New York subway? I acknowledge there are other places with subways. Also, England has one. People obviously behave better on the England subway than New Yorkers. But nonetheless, this does happen in other locales as well. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was also asked about commuting. Machmir on shaking hands, how about commuting? So his question is kind of a little bit humorous. He was asked, "Bedavar halicha b'subway ubebus." What's a subway, by the way, in English?
Jesus.
What?
Jesus.
It's a subway. Oh, it's the tube. The English thing. It's a tube. It's a subway. And what's a bus in English?
Bus.
Very good. So he says, when people are going during the rush hour and it is packed and it is inevitable. What's humorous here? Shekasha milizayer milinegia udechifa binashim. It is impossible to avoid what's negia. Touching. What's the chifa?
Pushing.
It's inevitable that people are going to be touching and pushing people of the opposite gender. I would not have understood that had I not experienced it myself in the New York tube. So, Rav Moshe says, when it comes to when it comes to going on the subway, when it comes to going on buses, hinei mitzad ha-negiyah d'chifa b'nashim az, what does he say? Machmir or meiko? Machmir. Can't go on.
Meiko.
Meiko says that. So indeed, Rav Moshe is lenient when it comes to going on the subway and the bus. It is not a problem. Why? So he cites the Rambam. He cites the Shach, that if the touching is not affectionate, indeed it is permitted. Not a problem. Look at the Rambam, look at the Shach. So my question then is, how is this different from shaking hands then? Shaking hands, Rav Moshe was concerned that it would come to Derech Chiba. It's going to be a problem. How about on the New York subway? What's the difference?
Shogeg. You know the shogeg on the
It's a shogeg. It's, give me an English word.
It's accidental.
It's accidental. It's non-intentional. The contact is not intentional when you're on the subway. If you think about this, when you get on the subway and it's packed, and you're lucky enough to get one of those amudim, what do they call those? One of those poles. Do you try to touch the person there, or do you try to avoid it at all costs, right? You try to avoid it at all costs. So Rav Moshe says when it comes to going onto the subway, when there are women there, married women, there are nidos, there are non-Jewish women, lots of questions here. Hold on. We're just diving into the topic. So he says here, it's different, b'negiyah b'lo miskaven, because the touching is non-intentional. Because it is impossible to avoid the touching, this is not an affectionate touching. In fact, it's the opposite of an affectionate touching. It is not an affectionate touching. It is the opposite. It is an athletic contact touching. So that's what Rav Moshe says is permitted. So then the next question, which people probably are about to ask this question, so how about sitting next to the woman? Let's talk about the scenario that, two scenarios. You're seated, and she decides to sit right next to you. And maybe there were another 30,000 seats available, or maybe the last seat was the one next to you. Or maybe a more difficult question, you come on the subway, every single seat is taken, except there's one available, and it's next to a lady. Can you sit there?
I thought the minhag in Israel is not to.
Can you sit there? What's the halacha?
Yeah, I think one of the reasons that Rav Moshe Feinstein said it's different on a train is also that you don't know those people. When you're shaking your hands, you would get to know that person as well. And you're
first time you're meeting. First time you're meeting is to shake hands.
Second time, third time, you know, it's probably something that's going to, you meet personally again and again, and every time you're shaking their hands, that person.
But he says even on the first time you can't.
No, even on the first time. Says you can't on the first time because you would leave.
No, because it could maybe your thoughts will become Derech Chiba.
Right. In the subway, there's no way you will meet the same person again.
But maybe right then it'll become Derech Chiba. My thoughts will be affectionate right then. It could be affectionate when I shake somebody's hand. Could it be affectionate on the subway? There is affection on the subway also. So Rav Moshe says as follows, V'chein leka isr mai taima. For the same reason, there is no problem, gam leishev eishel isha, to sit next to a woman on the subway or bus, kishileka makom acher, where there is no other place to sit, because this too is not derech chiba. So Moshe Feinstein is saying that you can sit on the subway, even sit next to her, as long as it's not derech chiba, it's not an affectionate touching, it will be permitted. Now, truth be told, Rav Moshe divides this into three possible stages. Stage number one is somebody's going to be able to keep his mind clean. Normal circumstances, it's not Derech Chiba. You can be on the subway. You can, even if there's going to be contact, which is inevitable, it would be mutter. There is contact. That contact is not Derech Chiba. It's not affecting. It is permitted. However, Rav Moshe says there's a second level to this. Avalim Yodea. Shehu Yavo Lidei Hiro. If he knows he's not going to be able to control his thoughts, that could be a problem. He knows, especially during the summer months, on the subway, people less dressed less properly, because they're dressed scantily. They're going to have hirhurim and inappropriate thoughts. Yesh lo limnoa mila lechesas. It's important for him to avoid going on the subway during rush hour, go earlier, for example, unless he has no choice. He has no choice. He has to go at that time. He can't go earlier because he's taking care of his elderly grandmother. He can't go later because he has to get to work. Whatever it is, that's the only time he can go. says Rav Moshe, it's permitted, but the Rambam tells us you have to make sure to try to keep your mind clean and proper. Learn beforehand. Learn the halachas of being on the subway. When you go on the subway, listen to an MP3 about what? The halachas of commuting on a subway when it comes to Nagia and Hiruri, right? Listen to this year when you're on the subway. That would be the ideal thing to listen to. And then he says it would be permitted. That's level number two. Level number two, again, is if you think you're going to have challenges, you have no choice, you have to go at that time. It says Rav Moshe would be permitted, but you have to prepare properly mentally and spiritually. Level number three, Rav Moshe says, if there is no way you're going to be able to control your thoughts, you're going to be exploding. There is no way we can permit somebody to go on the subway under those circumstances. It is an ister d'oraisa to get onto that subway. So Rav Moshe says it comes in three levels. Norm would be you can go, it's not derech chiba getting on that subway. Number two is if you have concerns, you can have inappropriate thoughts, prepare yourself, try to go at an earlier time when it's not as packed. But if you have no choice in the matter, mentally prepare yourself. Level number three is if you're just going to be totally uncontrolled in your thought processes, Rav Moshe said it would be prohibited to go at that time. Rav Menashe Klein, we also saw when it came to shaking of hands. Rav Menashe Klein was even more extreme. Rav Menashe Klein, the Mishnah Halacha says you can't shake the woman's hand, even if she extends first. Even if you think it's going to be embarrassing her, you can't reciprocate. She's the one who caused the problem. He too was asked. She extended it. You didn't ask her to extend her hand. Rav Menashe Klein was asked the same question, also living in New York. Rav Moshe, by the way, was living in New York, Lower East Side, very familiar with the subway. Rav Menashe Klein asked the same thing about the New York subway or subways in general, and he brings us a few interesting points. He says the same thing with as Rav Moshe, bus and subway is permitted. And he says a few rationales. Number one, he says kind of as a side point, how can we decree that people don't take mass transit? That is the gezeira that people will be unable to abide by. We can't institute a decree that there is no way that people will be able to adhere to this. They need to get places. Number one. Number two, in any case, it is fundamentally permitted to commute on mass transit. And he says, look in the prior generations, prior decades, even the Gedolim would get on what types of mass transit? They get on trains. Before that, they get on coaches, state coaches, even though there were women there. Not a problem. He says, look, we don't have to be firmer than they were. They got on. It was mutter for them. It's mutter for us also. Obviously, we have to keep our minds clear. Same thing, he says, would apply to ships and planes that we would be permitted to get on. And he says this would apply even according to the Rabbeinu Yonas of the world that are machmir, even if it's not derech chiba. You can't touch the woman. So that's Rabbeinu Yonas, the most machmir, says it would be permitted because they were talking when the touch was intentional. Here the touch is not intentional, it would be permitted. So Rav Menashe Klein concludes in Yimsap Lifamim, if it turns out that sometimes there will be contact, as long as the contact is not intentional, it would indeed be permitted to go. A third shaila, related shaila. I'll take the questions in the end of the segment. So the third shaila is the Yaskil Avdi of Avadia Hadaya. He passed away in 1969. He was asked a related question. Four prongs to his question. Question number one was as follows. Going to a doctor of the opposite gender. He was talking about an optometrist or an ophthalmologist that had to do some procedure at somebody's eyes. There's inevitably going to be contact there. Question number one. His question number two was going on to mass transit. His was similar to our question. It would require walking in back of women, seeing inappropriate sights, for example. Same thing would apply for touching women inadvertently. Question number two. Question number three, somebody's walking along an in the street, or not on the street, not a sakana, a young girl fell over, young lady, she fell down, and you're worried if you walk by without helping her, it will cause a chilul Hashem. Is it permitted to assist her in getting up? Question number three. Question number four, elderly lady crossing the street needs help to cross across the street. She's going to be okay. Maybe somebody else will help her. Maybe she'll have to walk. But people are watching. Maybe it'll be a chilul Hashem if we don't help her. Is it permitted to hold her arm and help her across the street? Four great questions. Everyone in listening, right? Four good questions. So he says as follows. If you look in a related area, there's a stechemet that says that this was a minhag of Sfaradim. It still exists today. That some people would kiss the hand of the chacham. Anyone ever see that? They go up to Chacham, the Gadol Ador, whatever it is, their great rabbi, elderly man, they would kiss the hand. Says the Stechemet, it's prohibited. How do you kiss the hand of the Chacham? you're not married to him, right? You're not allowed to kiss his hand. It's a problematic thing. But then he brings the ashita that it's permitted. The Od Yosef Chai says it's permitted to kiss the hand of the Chacham, and he says, She'ein zeder achiba, point number one, this is not an affectionate kissing. Umucha milsa she'osim chen lekvod shel Torah, and it's clear that they're doing it. Why? What's the reason? They don't want to give the rabbi a kiss. It's what?
Respect.
Giving him respect, similar to kissing the Sefer Torah. Similar to kissing the Sefer Torah. So there's no concern about inappropriate thoughts by him or by the lady kissing his hand. So he says it's mutter. So what's the concept here? The concept here is that if the contact is for a different purpose, meaning the purpose here is not the contact in of itself, but it's to show respect to the rabbi, but the contact is incidental, only incidental, then it is permitted. That's the concept here, says the Od Yosef Chai. So based on that, the Yaskil Avdi says that you can apply that same concept to our four questions. Question number one was going to that ophthalmologist, optometrist, to do whatever procedure on the eye. What's the intent of the contact? For medical purposes, right? We're going, we want the treatment. It's not that I want the touching. The touching is incidental to the medical procedure. That would be mutter. As long as the person's keeping his mind clear, she is and he is, then it would be permitted. Apply the same thing to the second question of going on to mass transit. Any viewing of women, any walking in back of them is incidental. Any touching is incidental to my desire to get somewhere. My desire is not the touching. The touching is incidental to my desire to be on the mass transit and get somewhere. So he says that would indeed be permitted. And he says the same thing applies when it comes to assisting the young girl who fell over, needs help getting up. There's no sakana. If it's a sakana, it's not even a question. Don't ask the question. But even if not a sakana, but to avoid people looking at us saying, oh, what a chilul Hashem, that guy couldn't even stop to help the girl get up. That guy couldn't even help the elderly lady crossing the street. He says it would indeed be permitted. With the following proviso, dechol adam, delochol adam, v'adam shavim b'shurei. And everyone has to know themselves that they know that they are going to have a difficult time keeping their minds straight and clean and pure, then it would be problematic. But under normal circumstances, that would be permitted. This past Sunday, I went to the hygienist. That's the dental, to get a dental cleaning, right? How many guys have gone to a male hygienist in their lives? Okay, out of like 30 people, we have a few, about five, six. I would say probably like 90-something percent of hygienists are female, right? Female. All else equal, go to the guy, but what are you going to do? Not have your teeth cleaned? So we would apply the same concept here. She is female, right? Most she's are female. She's female. Hygienist is female. It would be permitted if we keep our mind clean. I will tell you, when they are doing that cleaning, there's no chiba involved there. It is pain. It is the opposite. So we would say, as long as we're keeping our minds clean, it would indeed be permitted. All else equal, go to the man, but otherwise it would be permitted. Okay, quick questions.
Isn't there an extra sort of obstacle with the whole dental hygienist thing, just because of the sort of like geometry and gravity and proximity kind of making things a little bit more awkward than usual?
You know what I'm saying? If you go to the one in Rehavia, it's not a problem. You would have to know your hygienist and what she's wearing and how it's working out. I didn't have that issue, but if you do have that issue, if she has that issue, stay far away from it. Okay, yes.
What about a haircut?
Okay. I think when it comes to haircut, 99% of barbers are men. I don't see a reason to go to a female. If there were, in theory, there are no men barbers and you're able to keep your mind clean, Lichor would say the same concept. My intention is, well, just use the shaver, right? You may look a little funny, but in a place that... But, you know, the chora would be the same. Your intention is, but you have to know yourself. You have to know your mind. Yeah?
You mentioned that there was one psak, I think it was from Moshe, that the same rule applying about going on the subway would be also, like, you can sit next to a woman on a plane.
So the plane, Menashe Klein talks about planes, and we will get back to planes in a little bit. the distinction, planes could be either better or worse than a subway and bus. Why is it worse?
Because
you're there for 6, 10, 15 hours, whatever it is. So that could be... Why it could be better is because they have these armrests. They have these dividers in between. The New York subway, at least, you're sitting on each other's lap. So that's why...
What if they move the armrest up?
No, that's not the common. You say put it down. You know, it's, the armrest stays down. Yeah?
Should we talk about the Kol Hashem of other people watching? What about, say, the old lady?
You know, that could be the same. Be the same. Very good question. You have to be concerned about those. Okay, just one more question, then we'll take at the end. We'll get this.
Is there a difference between, like, for instance, from your example of going to the hygienist, she's wearing gloves, right? Is there a difference between... or if you're helping a lady up, she's wearing clothes. You know, if you're going to grab her arm, she's got a big jacket on, maybe.
You know, I will get to that shortly. I'll answer to that real quickly, and then we'll get a little bit more into it. The mice, the bottom line is it helps but doesn't get you there. In the sense that just because it's gloves, it doesn't permit the touching, but it helps a little bit. Okay, so I want to just quickly give two more rationales why you would be permitted to take mass transit. Getting on the subway and bus, and I'm going to bring these two sfaras, not because we need any more to permit it, but we're going to learn additional things from them when we bring these two sfaras. So there's a Gemara in Pesachim, Kafei on the base, that says that somebody who receives a hana'ah, for example, somebody's walking past, hana'ah that's prohibited to him, somebody's walking by an avodah zarah and they're burning incense, prohibited to have any benefit, including smell from that avodah zarah. But the Gemara says that if it is Adam Bal Korcho, it wasn't your choice. You didn't want to smell it. If it's a situation of Lo Efshra Vlo Michabet, Lo Efshra means I don't have other viable alternatives for me to pass by this area, and I am not having subjective Hana'a benefit from this Isser, then it would be permitted. Okay? If I don't have another viable alternative, and also, I'm not having Hana'ah from it, it would be permitted. So there are those poskim that apply the same concept to going on mass transit. This is my viable alternative, getting onto the mass transit. And if I'm not having Hana'ah from the lady, it would be permitted. Now, the halachic question that we could ask based on that is, how about if I have another alternative, but it's not as viable? You can get on the subway going from the Upper West Side, going down to Battery Park Tunnel, wherever you may be working, 125th Broad Street, where I used to work. So that was my commute. On the subway, it's pretty quick and inexpensive. Back then, I don't know what the subway was, $1, $1.25. Now it's probably $2.50 plus, something like that. Would I be required to take a cab, a taxi, or nowadays it'd be an Uber? Would I be required to get in an Uber at a much higher expense in order to avoid the problem? So based on this concept of, do I have a viable alternative, when something is going to be that much more expensive, that is not considered a viable alternative, and I can take the mass transit. So that's another svara why it would be permitted. A third svara that is brought down by the poskim, there's a Gemara in Baba Basra, Nuzayin on the base, that says if somebody's walking by on a river and the ladies are doing laundry. In the old days, they didn't have washing machines, so they had to wash, if you can imagine such a thing. They used to wash the clothing in the river, and to do that, they had to raise their skirts. So it'd be problematic walking by, seeing these otherwise very tzanua ladies doing the laundry in a non-tzanua way. So Gemara says, if you walk by, that's a terrible thing. No, it's talking about that you walked by because you had no other way to pass by. You had to go, but it was proper that the person looked away. And there the Gemara uses the phrase, leka dracha achrisa. There was no really other way that's the way you had to go. So based on that, the Teres Baz says the same thing when it comes to going from city to city. You're obviously going to take the mass transit. You're not going to take a cab. But how about within the city, a short distance? You said you'd have to make an analysis. Is this considered a viable alternative or not? Going, it's a little bit more expensive, it's a lot more expensive, it's going to take me a lot more time, a little bit more time. So lemaisa, if it's all else equal, we should find the better way to go. But if it's not all else equal, again, for the third reason, would we be permitted to go on the mass transit? The New York Times. New York Times. We've heard of the New York Times again. We thank the New York Times for always being an active participant in our shir. So the New York Times... This was actually on the front page of the New York Times, A1. A1 in the New York Times, April 9th, 2015. The title is When a Plain Seat Next to a Woman is Against Orthodox Faith. And the new, anyone read this?
It was on the internet a few years ago, a similar case.
So it goes like this. I'll read a couple of the stories. This is the introduction to the article in the New York Times. Francesca Hoagie, aged 40, had settled into her aisle seat for the flight from New York to London when the man assigned to the adjoining window seat arrived and refused to sit down. He said his religion prevented him from sitting beside a woman who was not his wife. Irritated but eager to get underway, she eventually agreed to move. Was she happy or not happy?
Yes.
Laura Haywood was actually less happy than that, in age 42, had a similar experience while traveling from San Diego to London via New York. She was in the middle seat. Her husband was in the aisle seat. An Orthodox Jew comes on board. He has the window seat. He asks her, "Do you mind switching with your husband?" She says, "No, can do. I'm not switching with my husband." Why? "Because my husband flies a lot better when he's in the aisle seat, and I'm much more important to me is how my husband feels and how you feel." She says, "I wasn't rude, but I found the reason to be sexist, so I was direct." Now, there's a quote in the New York Times by Rabbi Shaffrin, Rabbi Avi Shaffrin, well-known man. He is the director of public affairs at the Agudas Yisrael, who represents ultra-Orthodox Jews, and he makes a statement, "I don't believe that this is as common as people think. It hits the news, and it's really big when it hits the news, but I don't think it's like as common as people believe it is." And he says the vast majority of Orthodox Jews rely on the tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein, who permits it because it's not Derech Chiba. This is in the New York Times. It doesn't say Derech Chiba. He says it's not affectionate. And he says, "The Haredi men I know," says Rabbi Shaffrin, "I have no objection to sitting next to a woman on any flight." Okay, so this does happen. I was on a flight. This happened. Unfortunately, it was a tremendous chilul Hashem. It was not handled well. I subsequently asked Rabbi Zulman Schwartzman, "Do I have an obligation, or would it be wise for me to get up and switch seats for him with the individual?" You know, when you have something going on like that, you're just thinking in your mind. You don't think, "Oh, I got an act. I got to do something," because you're just so surprised that it's happening. And it's like somebody watching a car accident about to happen, that you can't do anything about it, but you're just saying, "This is not going to be good." So it was not good. It was a chilul Hashem. So I asked Rabbi Schwartzman, "Should I have switched with him?" And he said, "You don't have an obligation to, but that would be the best thing. If you feel comfortable sitting next to, get up and say, 'I'm happy to switch. You can have my seat, as long as you have a better seat than he did.'" But truth be told, this should be a non-issue anymore, because new on El Al, the personal mechitza. Everyone see this? I'm going to pass it around a little bit. We'll show it to the camera. The personal mechitza. Right there, you can sit on a plane. It says, new on El Al, personal mechitzas, fly with us, newly approved. Personal mechitzas let you fly in comfort without needing to see in-flight movies or immodestly dressed seatmates. Quote, "You can daven, you can learn. It gives you privacy. They're very nice and very cute. It's very practical." Quoting Rabbi Shimon Stern, spokesman for the Rabbinical Council for Public Transportation. So it's available. If you respond in the next 10 minutes, we will have a collective discount, $9.95. As in a bonus, we will throw in a book of Tehillim. No, that's a joke. That is a joke. That's not really the case. So next, somebody talked about, make sure it makes its way back here, please. Okay, so there is a Tosfos. Somebody asked about gloves. So there is a Tosfos that says that if you have a man and a woman, and they are each in their separate clothing, but they are touching and there is warmth being generated by their skin, that is a problem. That would be problematic. So we see that contact, even through a glove or something, if you have that still, that sensual feel of that warmth between the two, that would be a problem. So the tshuva of Az Nidru, this Rabbi Binyamin Silber says, so if you think about that, if you think about clothing during the summer and the winter months, enjoying that. During the summer and winter months, during the winter months, apparently is more problematic and less problematic. Why would it be more problematic? Because it's people are wearing bulkier clothing. There's more of a tendency to be touching each other. On the other hand, because it's the clothing that's touching and not the skin or not close to the skin, it's less problematic because there's not warmth being generated between the bodies. similar, but conversely, when it comes to the summer, there's less of a problem of touching because people have less clothing on, but when they do touch, you have that warmth being generated. So he says as follows, Bikitzer, when it comes to commuting, mass transit, Bikitzer, Mimashini's bar, from his whole analysis, and I didn't go through his whole analysis, Yisod Aheter, the Heter to go on mass transit, subways, buses, etc., who, She'ein Lanu Makor Leso, we have no basis to prohibit it. There's no basis to prohibit it. It is mutter, aval mistaver. However, it would make sense, shigam yeshiva bichlala iser, imischamim in zemiz. If they're sitting next to each other and there's warmth being generated, indeed, that would be a problem. So that's going to be a carve-out. We had a carve-out before. Can you keep your mind clean? Carve-out number two is that there's going to be warmth being generated. There's Beis Yechezkel. This is Rav Tzuriel. Rav Tzuriel brings an opinion from the Makor Halacha that says, when it comes to getting on a bus, this wouldn't so much apply, and a subway, but it wouldn't apply to a plane. Sometimes it's going to be preferable to sit next to the lady than standing. And he says, if you can think this following scenario, you have a seat in the front of the bus right next to one lady, or you could be standing, especially in the summer months, and what if you're standing, you're looking constantly around at the entire gamut of the ladies on the bus. It's going to be much easier, more proper to sit next to one lady than to have the panoramic view of everything that is going on the bus. I had this every time I came to Yeshiva, I came to Yerushalayim from Yeshiva. I learned in Yeshiva that was in the middle of Yerushalayim and Tel Aviv, in the middle of nowhere. So we had to get on the bus. And we had the shaila, you can get a seat sitting next to a woman, or you could be standing the whole, which was often what happened. You had no choice if the seats are filled up. And then indeed you have a more difficult problem. If you have the bracha of having bad eyes, you take your glasses off. That's what I do. When something inappropriate is approaching, my glasses come up. At this point, my daughters, they see it first and they take my glasses off for me, especially my 12-year-old. They come off automatically so that I don't have to worry about it. But that's an important point. That's an important point. If it's not always like, it could be that it's your better alternative to sit next to the woman than standing. Okay, so the Papa Rav says the following. This is the situation. People go on subways. But pshita demisha efshar lo linatzel mizeh, if you can avoid it, obviously you should avoid the whole situation. In other words, go into work early. There are people who work in Passaic, New Jersey, and they come in early. It's about a 25-minute commute on the bus from Passaic into the city. They come in early and get to a shul. There's a shul right off in the city that has a minyan, I think, at 6:25, 6:30. So how do they come in? You miss the mass transit. You're on mass transit, but there are not a lot of people on. Get your davening in early, and then they go to work. So that's also something that's important. Now, when it comes to sitting, I want to get back to this question. Sitting next to the woman, we said Rav Moshe Feinstein says if there are no other seats, it would be permitted to sit next to her. So the Vayan Yosef, the Papa Rav says there's still a midas chasidus, even if there are no other places to sit, to not sit next to her. To stand would be preferable. Midas, the proper thing to do would be to not sit next to her. However, the poskim say we do have to be very careful to not create a chilal Hashem. It doesn't look good if the lady comes on, sits next to you, and you just get up in a way that it's clear that you're getting up because she is sitting next to you. It doesn't make anyone feel good when that happens. So we have to be very considerate. If you see it's going to happen, get up before she comes. Ultimately, the poskim say, if it was too late for you to get up, stay seated. As long as your mind is going to be able to stay clear, stay seated. So that's something we have to be very careful about. If Mi'ikra Adin, I'm not going to be able to keep my mind clear, you have an obligation to get up. But if I think I can do okay in order to avoid offending her, we should stay seated. I want to tell a couple stories of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, was one of the Gedolei Yisrael of the prior generation. He passed away in 1995. He lived in Shari Chesed in Yerushalayim. And he used to take the bus. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of Kol Torah, a very prestigious yeshiva. And he used to take the bus to yeshiva. I say he used to take the bus to work. He used to take the bus to yeshiva. He's the Rosh Yeshiva. There was one time that he was sitting there and he was next to somebody else from Shari Chesed, a younger person, and a woman got on and she had no place to sit. And Rav Shlomo Zalman said to the guy next to him, I think it would be proper if you would get up. If not, I'll get up for her because we have to give her a seat. The younger person should get up, obviously. The Rosh Hashiva should stay seated. But we should get, so she, the person next to him got up, and the lady sat next to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and it was a non-ish. Rav Shlomo Zalman sat next to her, and it wasn't a problem. Now, another time that happened, an immodestly dressed woman got onto the bus. And in that circumstance, she sat next to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. In that circumstance, he got up. But what did he do? It wasn't yet his bus stop to get off at yeshiva. He got off at the next bus stop, meaning he got up, he stood by the door as if he had to get off. He really didn't have to get off, but he was being sensitive to her, not know, letting her know that he was getting up. Because he faked it. He feigned it that he had to get up. He actually got off the bus in order to not offend her, and he was either waited for the next bus or he walked the rest of the way to yeshiva to avoid offending the lady. He didn't want to offend her, no, say, with her seeing that he was just standing for the rest of the bus ride. So that is indeed something that we have to be very careful about. Let me recap quickly, and then one last point. We've gone through the sugya of commuting, buses, subways, and we said that the most fundamental reason that it is permitted to commute, mass transit, even during rush hour, people of the opposite gender, is that the contact is not derech chiba. It is not an affectionate touching. So it would be indeed permitted. But Rav Moshe brings three stages. If we can keep our minds clean, mutter, not a problem. It's the touching is not intentional. It's not derech chiba, and it's not intentional. Level number two, if you're concerned about having inappropriate thoughts, Rav Moshe says, ideally go at a different time. If you have no choice, go at that time. But prepare yourself mentally, emotionally, religiously, so you'll be able to get through that commute without a problem. But if you know, level number three, you know there's no way you're going to be able to control your mind, it would be prohibited to go. We did also say that we are machmir in two cases. One is if you can't control your thoughts at all. Number two is if there's going to be warmth generated back and forth by the touching. That is also a problem. And then 3 points, mentally prepare yourself in advance. Number two, learn along the way. Learn along the way, say Tehillim, etc. And number two, go earlier if possible, not during rush hour. Now, indeed, this next thing I'm about to show you shows us that there is an ability to create a Kiddush Hashem also while commuting. This is a picture. There was a man who was commuting who fell asleep on an Orthodox Jew, fell asleep on the New York subway. I'm going to show it for everyone watching there. And somebody was sitting next to him. He's sleeping. Didn't know the guy. There's a word here that I didn't know. Strap hanger. Have you guys heard that word, strap hanger? It's in this article in the New York Post that a strap hanger fell asleep. It means somebody who hangs from the strap. People who commute, they're hanging from the straps. But it says it also applies to anyone who's mass commuting. And the person who was watching this, that you have a foreigner sleeping on your shoulder, he says, do you want me to wake him up? Because he's probably bothering you. So it says another writer was amazed at the scene, so he gently asked if he wanted help to wake the slumbering strap hanger. So the Orthodox Jew who's sitting there nicely, calmly, somebody sleeping, he didn't know, a foreigner sleeping on his shoulder, he says he had a long day, so let him sleep. We've all been there. This picture, so the person who was sitting there took a picture of this. This is the picture here. And it went, as they say nowadays, it went viral. I don't like these words, but I say it anyway. It went viral. Millions of people saw this, the Kiddush Hashem, saying the Orthodox Jew, the guy sitting with the yarmulke there, being so kind to the person sitting next to him. So indeed, when we get on the mass transit, we have to obviously be concerned about not violating any Yisurim, but this is also a tremendous opportunity to create a Kiddush Hashem. Guys, have a great week. We will Amir to Hashem continue next week. Any questions, I'll take outside. Rabbi.